If you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, please, for just a moment, 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight, and we're going to continue talking about building a godly life. And it's something that needs to be built day by day, just like if we were to go to the gym and exercise and try to train our muscles and grow our muscles. Godliness is something that a Christian needs to train with every single day. And such and so forth. So I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Beginning in verse 6, Paul writes and tells Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So as we continue to look at this thing of godliness, and in the opening prayer there, I talked about the actual definition of what it means to be godly. And if you want to make it even simpler, just be like God, okay? And we spent a long time talking about the characteristics and attributes of God. We talked about the characteristics of the Christian life. If we will employ these things day by day, we will then, in turn, exercise godliness. And the more we exercise godliness, right? So in other words, the more we do that, the more godly we will become. And listen, folks, we should want to be like God in that respect. Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Isn't he someone that we look up to, if you will? Absolutely. I'm not talking about being like God to be, you know, in control of everything and have supreme power like God has, like the devil tried to trick Eve and Adam with all of that. But you understand, because he's my God, because he sent his son to be my savior, because he's forgiven me of the debt of sin that I owed and given me salvation as a free gift, I should want to be with him and close to him and like him in every single way, in every single aspect of my life. So as I do this, I'm fighting against my own nature. Because my nature is not like his nature. It's completely different, isn't it? Our nature is carnal, the natural man. And I need to become a spiritual man. I need to become a godly man. I need to become a holy man. And so these are things that I need to work at. I need to exercise. You can tell by my frame, I am not a muscular individual. Although as I do grow in age, I find out daily that I am more muscular than I ever thought I was. You say, how's that? When I wake up, more muscles hurt that I didn't know I had. Okay? I'm like, oh, there's a muscle there. I didn't know I had a muscle there. So I'm more muscular than I thought I was. So some of you could relate to that. Okay, hallelujah. Now, but did you notice here, What he says that when Paul told Timothy to exercise his godliness. In verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Do you understand? I don't have the appearance of a muscular individual, do I? Okay, I hide it very well, you know, with the clothing I wear. No, I'm just not very muscular. But you know what? You can tell if someone goes to the gym every day. You can tell if someone is a professional bodybuilder, okay? Their muscles have muscles, all right? So, you know, it's just, you know, you can tell. It appears that they're muscular, right? Folks, the same is true with our godliness. The godliness that we exercise is supposed to show. And if someone walks up to you and says, are you godly? Now, that's not something to get all proud about and get a big head about. But you ought to be thankful if someone does notice if you've been exercising at it. Hey, if you start on a exercise regimen, you want people to notice, right? Maybe between a husband and a wife, or maybe kids will do this to their dad. Hey, dad, are my muscles getting bigger? You know, or you know, husbands and wives, I've been exercising. Can you tell? Okay, I mean, come on, We need, as Christians, we should be exercising godly. Listen, people should notice if you're getting closer to God. People should notice if you're becoming more like Him. They should be able to see that your profiting may appear to all. Paul told Timothy, hey, people should notice that godliness that's profitable unto all things is springing up in your life. So we need to continue to exercise godliness. So one of the ways we talked about exercising godliness was we needed the right nutrition, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So we talked about wholesome words, doctrinal words, holy words, the words of Christ, the word of God, all these things. We need good input to get good output. If you're gonna build muscles, you need to take in the right kinds of nutrients and foods to build muscles. So if we're going to build godliness, we need to take in the right kinds of things into our spirit, the right kinds of things into our mind, the right kinds of things into our being, if we're going to build godliness. If I eat junk food, I'm not building muscles, folks. I'll just tell you that. If I just sit back and eat Cheetos and drink Cokes, we're not going to be doing very much muscle building. Okay? But if we get the right nutrition, we can then work on building those muscles. If we get the right nutrition spiritually, we can work on building godliness. Now, we talked about being content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And that wasn't talking about necessarily getting to a place where you're just okay with who you are and that's how you're going to be and you just kind of live that way. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about being content with what God has made you to be. And being content with God. And where He has placed you in your life. And what conditions and circumstances He has put in your life. And saying, God, I'm going to accept what You've made me as. I'm going to accept what You've done in my life. The circumstances You put me in. The places You put me in. Etc. Then we talked about godly living. We talked about the actual exercise program. Of getting into to God's gym, right? Getting into the gym and start to build godliness. And we talked about, first of all, building godliness by living life as a servant of God. Just being willing to serve. Just be willing to give God your whole life. You say, but it's mine. Well, technically it's not. Because the Bible says if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been bought and paid for. Our life is not our own anymore. It is now His life, and we just get to be the managers. So be a good manager. You know what a good manager does? A good manager does with whatever they're managing, whatever the owner wants done with it. And God has some things he wants done with our lives. He has a way that he wants us to live. He has things that he wants in our lives and things that he doesn't want in our lives. If you're the manager of an apartment complex and you decided one day to have the maintenance crew go paint the buildings yellow and put purple polka dots on them, how do you suppose the owner would respond? Yeah. What did you do to my buildings? Doesn't it look cool? No! You're fired, right? Listen, folks. There's some things that God looks at us, our lives, and he says, what are you doing with this life? Anyways. But that's what we talked about. So today I want to give you one more element to help you build godliness. So not only do we need to learn to be a servant of God and to serve God faithfully, but we also need to learn to live righteously. To learn to live in a righteous fashion. In Titus chapter 2, if you'd like to turn your Bibles over there, you sure can. In Titus chapter 2 in verses 11 through 14, I'll get to that in just a moment. But when we talk about our exercise of godliness, there are certain exercises that are designed to build upon one another to help you to build muscles. So if we're gonna start off on this process, we've got to be submitted to God and be a servant. And then we have to decide that because God is righteous, and if that's what I want to emulate, if that's what I want to be godly, then I need to put righteousness in my life. Look at verse 11 there in Titus chapter 2. Paul says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Listen, that's the first part. We're bought with a price. The Bible says that grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, it's appeared. What does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we should live. If we're going to exercise godliness, we need to day by day live God's way. How do you like that for a little saying? Day by day, live God's way. You say, okay, I'm supposed to be a servant of God. I'm supposed to submit to God, and I'm supposed to serve God, and I'm supposed to do what he wants me to do. And now you're going to tell me that I need to live how he wants me to live. Yes. If you want to be godly, these things are important. You say, why do I have to live God's way? Because it's the right way. It's the right way. You say, well, how do you know? The Bible tells me it's the right way. We need to make sure that we are following God's way. And if I want to be godly, I need to live God's way. So this is something that we need to exercise, because guess what? Our nature, our flesh, does not want to live God's way. Just as much as your flesh does not want to go to the gym. At least mine doesn't. Okay? All mine wants to do is with this hand pick up a donut, and with this hand pick up a cup of coffee. One, two. One, two. One, two. One, two. It's a good exercise, right? I mean, that's the kind of exercise I like, all right? Now, listen. But to go in, I've done this in the past. To go in, when you exercise, it hurts, folks. No pain, no gain, right? It's not easy. You have to go against your normal routine. You got to wake up early. That means less sleep. You gotta put some effort out there, right? You gotta do these things. So it's not necessarily easy. Can I tell you something? Living a righteous life is not necessarily easy. There's some things that you're gonna have to give. Some things you're gonna have to kind of set aside to make it happen, just like you would if you're going to exercise muscles. We have to put some effort into it. There in Titus, he continues and says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Does this sound like somebody who is letting their profitable godliness show to all people? Absolutely. We're putting ourselves out there because we are living a pure and holy and acceptable life to God. And it's strange. You know, average is average. You understand average, right? Most people are average. We are, because that's the whole definition of average. There are some that may be considered below average, right? There are some that may be considered above average. And there may be some that are considered above average, right? Or below. I mean, there's all different parts of it, but the majority of people fall in the average category. I can tell you something, the majority of Christians fall in the average category. Those people in our society that are above average in muscular structure, you can see them from a mile away. They have to walk through doorways sideways like this. Okay, again, I told you, I'm not one of those people. What kind of Christian are we? We just fit in with the rest of society? Are we just average? Or do we stick out in a crowd? It ought to be that we stick out. Because we're living a life. We're peculiar. We're zealous of good works. Boy, that's a good one. Zealous. That means you're a go-getter. You're after it. You're on it. You know what a good muscle builder person is? A zealous person. They're dedicated. They're diligent about it. They're after it. Every day they're in the gym. Every day. Today's leg day. Today's arm day. Today's this day. Today's that day. And boy, they got the schedule down. They're in the gym. They're always there 5 a.m. They're there at, 5 p.m. I mean, whatever the time, they're always there. They're measuring things and doing stuff and they're into it. How into it are we? As Christians, trying to exercise godliness, trying to build godliness. Are we zealous of good works? You say, what are good works? Righteous living. Living the right way. Living God's way, not man's way. In Psalm chapter 4, the Bible says, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Paul told Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You said it sounds tough. Yes. It's tough. Do you know that it's very difficult to live a righteous life in this day and age. I didn't say it was going to be easy. It's difficult. Because the moment you try to do it, a flood of temptations are going to come in. Everything that you can think of is going to be right there in your face, trying to draw you back in unto unrighteous living. Folks, everywhere we go, there are things that we see, things that we hear, things that we experience that are drawing us back to the world. It's pulling us back in. Listen, I told somebody this. I don't know if I was something before I was a Baptist preacher. You understand that? I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of and that I wish I never would have done. But can I tell you something? I walked outside of a place one time and there was a band playing. And they were, did I tell you? Okay, I was telling Brother Dart. And they're playing a song. And my mouth just starts moving before my brain even gets in gear. I know all the words to this song. And I'm not supposed to know all the words to that song. It wasn't a good song. Something about friends in low places. Hey, the world's trying to draw you back in. You got to fight. It's not easy to live a righteous life. Are we going to fall? Yeah. Are we going to fail? Probably. The Bible says the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what the person does when they go to the gym and they're doing this and doing that? They sprain an arm or something, or they tear a muscle, or they have this setback in the thing. They don't just quit and cry and go home. They rehab, they reorder things, and they get back in the gym. It's going to be tough. You're going to fall and skin your knee. You're going to fall and have a difficulty, etc. But get back up. Fight the good fight of faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us to take unto us the whole armor of God. Part of the whole armor of God is the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, we need to put these things on so that we can exercise. We can become what God wants us to become. And righteousness and righteous living is part of it. Over in Isaiah chapter 33, the Bible says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. Folks, we need to live an upright and righteous life. We need to be like Job, who is a righteous man. He feared God and eschewed evil. That doesn't mean he just said no to evil. He pushed it away. He was an evil repellent. We need to repel it. We need to push it away. Our very presence in the righteousness of God ought to drive the darkness from us. Jesus encouraged his disciples to not let the gates of hell stand against them. That's how it ought to be. You know, do you know what? All this armor that God gives us is offensive armor. It's not defensive. We're supposed to press toward the mark. That's our theme this year. We're supposed to push forward. That sounds like exercise to me. That sounds like work. To fight the good fight of faith. To endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. To do these things. And listen. It's not going to be easy. In Psalm 145, the Bible tells us the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So if we're going to be godly, then I need to be righteous in all my ways. And I need to be holy in all my works. If I want to be like him. If I want to exhibit godliness in my life. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes and says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The word of God is righteous. We know that over in Psalm 19, the Bible tells us that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How are we going to keep from sin and keep from our errors? But by the word of God. It has to be our life. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit of God. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So if God the Father is righteous and God the Son is righteous and God the Holy Spirit is righteous, if we're going to be godly, then we need to live a righteous life. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 2. I thought this was interesting. As Peter's talking about our dealings with men and mankind. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. As for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." So here we go again, back to this being a servant of God, but also being a righteous servant of God. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." What steps? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." He says, because of Christ's example, we should live righteously. We should. So, as an element in our workout program, we need to have the right nutrition. And we need to have contentment with God. And we need to begin to exercise as a servant of God. But then, we need to incorporate righteousness in our life. Listen, folks, this is not a one-time supplement. You know what I'm talking about, right? Protein powder, whatever stuff that you put in a, you know, the little shaky bottle thingy, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm sure there's a technical term for it, but it's a shaky bottle thingy to me. But whatever it is that you have there, that's something you take every day, right? I mean, some of you have medicines and vitamins and things that you take every day. Well, just add a little dash of righteousness in there every day. We all could use it. And it'll help build godliness. There's a way that God wants us to live. He wants us to live. He says that we should live righteously. Exercise unto godliness.